Golden State Media Concepts bring you the Bible Study Podcast. Reflect and journey the Bible as together we study God's Word and be inspired. Bible study made fun and informative for all ages. It's the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast.
Welcome to the GSMC Bible Study Podcast, brought to you by the GSMC Podcast Network. I am your host, Sarah, and I am happy to be back with you for another couple of episodes for this week, the 17th Sunday after Pentecost. Today is Sunday, September 16th, and we are just flying through the month of September, aren't we? We are halfway through now, and yeah, it's not quite fall here yet, but it's much, much nicer than it has been, so I'm greatly appreciative of the slightly cooler weather. Still, you know, when I talk to my parents and their highs are in the 60s, I get a little jealous because I want to go home and have that crisp fall feeling, but hey, I will take what I can get, and I'm just happy that the temperatures aren't in the 90s and the 100s. Yeah, that is a much needed improvement. So as always, for this first part of the episode, we will be talking about the Old Testament lessons assigned for this week, the 17th Sunday after Pentecost. And then on Wednesday's episode, we will switch our attention to the New Testament lessons. So our Old Testament lessons come from Isaiah 50 as well as Psalm 116. And we'll be starting with Isaiah 50, which is verses 4 through 9a. And those verses are as follows. The Lord God has given me the tongue of a teacher, that I may know how to sustain the weary with a word. Morning by morning he wakens my ear to listen as those who are taught. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious. I did not turn backward. I gave my back to those who struck me, and my cheeks to those who pulled out the beard. I did not hide my face from insult and spitting. The Lord God helps me, therefore I have not been disgraced. Therefore I have set my face like flint, and I know that I shall not be put to shame. He who vindicates me is near. Who will contend with me? Let us stand up together. Who are my adversaries? Let them confront me. It is the Lord God who helps me. Who will declare me guilty? All of them will wear out like a garment. The moth will eat them up. Again, that is Isaiah chapter 50, verses 4 through 9a. So what are the things in those few verses that jumped out at you or struck you maybe differently than they have before? Was there anything in there that just popped out at you? Or for me, there's a lot. I mean, I always think of the things that I learned in seminary, for instance, that this is one of the suffering servant poems, you know, where I did not turn. I gave my back to those who struck me. I gave my cheeks to those who pulled out the beard. I did not hide my face from insult and spitting. This is a part of Isaiah that is often pointed toward the future as looking toward Jesus's suffering and his willingness to go through that. But there's other things that also strike me, that phrase, morning by morning he wakens my ear to listen as those who are taught. And I mean, first it says that the Lord God has, the author of this section of Isaiah says, the Lord God has given me the tongue of a teacher, that I may know how to sustain the weary with a word. What a gift. Doesn't that strike you as a gift to know how to just speak to people who are feeling down, feeling weary, feeling whatever it is that they are feeling? Maybe it's sick, maybe it's sad, any of those darker negative emotions. And God has given this person the tongue of a teacher, someone who knows the right words to say in the right in a certain situation, the right words to say that will bring God's word to that person. And It continues, morning by morning, he wakens. God wakens my ear to listen as those who are taught. So this person is not only, has not only been given the tongue of the teacher, does not only have a gift of being able to speak to people in a way that is helpful, but this person also listens. Whether that's listening to God or whether that's listening to the person with whom the author is speaking, I'm not sure, but I like that those two are paired together. You know, it's the speaking, but it's also the listening. And I'm sure that at least part of it is listening to God, listening for God's voice so that this person can share that wisdom of God's word with people when they need to hear it. And then, of course, I love the ending of this section, you know, where the author is almost defiant, you know, who are my adversaries? Well, let them confront me. Go ahead, because I have God on my side. God is helping me. I am listening to God. I am speaking God's word. Who will declare me guilty then? And, you know, all of my enemies, all of those who, for whatever reason, are not listening to God's word or whatever they are to be adversaries, you know, all of them will wear out like a garment. God's word is eternal, is what I take from that. So let's go ahead and get some commentary on this text. And this week, the commentary comes to us from Michael L. Ruffin, editor of Connections, Smythe and Helwith's, I think, publishing, Macon, Georgia. Smythe and Helwys. Helwys, that's how I would say it. Maybe it's pronounced something differently. Please let me know. So the NRSV, which is what we read from, the New Revised Standard Version. Let me back up. I mentioned that this was one of the servant songs, and this is the third of the servant songs. We're currently in 2 Isaiah. Isaiah is actually broken up into sections that they think were maybe written by different people. So this is 2 Isaiah. This is the third of the servant songs. And the servant talks about what happens when we grow in knowledge of God's ways. The more we learn, the more we'll know. And the more we know, the more we'll serve. And he actually is referencing, do you remember those PSAs? I think they actually are still around on NBC, The More You Know, those PSAs. Well, here we have Isaiah. The more we learn, the more we know, and the more we know, the more we'll serve. So he then goes on to say that the New Revised Standard Version's translation of the first line of Isaiah 50 is probably less accurate and helpful than those of some other translations. Whereas NRSV has, "The Lord has given me the tongue of a teacher," the Hebrew text reads, "the tongue of those who are taught." That is an interesting, yeah, that's different, isn't it? The tongue of a teacher, one who teaches, or the tongue of those who are taught, one who is a student, which then goes along very nicely with the listening portion, right? The New American Standard Bible has "the tongue of disciples," and New International Version, "a well-instructed tongue." The Common English Bible, "an educated tongue." All of these readings, he says, better maintain the sense of the original Hebrew. On the other hand, a teacher's tongue should express what the one talking has learned. So you can see the connection there. In this case, the servant has learned from the Lord. The servant is a prophet who proclaims God's word. The prophet can do this because the Lord has given it to him. Perhaps it has come both through direct revelation and through the tradition of Isaiah of Jerusalem. The instruction that the servant receives is not only for his good, it is also, and perhaps especially, for the good of others. The purpose of the servant's instruction is to be able to help others through his words. The proclaimed word offers hope and strength to those who hear it. It helps them to endure. The prophet receives the word to pass on to others. So, as I said, you know, that whole speaking and listening, they work together, right? So the prophet receives the word. But in order to receive that word, obviously the prophet has to be paying attention. The prophet has to be listening. And, you know, there's all of those examples of in the Old Testament where people are called to be prophets and they have so many excuses. No, thank you. No, thank you. No, thank you. But you have to, you know, you do have to listen to what God is telling you so that you know what to say to those to whom you are prophesying. I want to talk more about this, but we are going to take our first break of the podcast. So stay tuned. You're listening to the GSMC Bible Study Podcast, and I will be right back.
Want to find out what movies to go see? Then check out the GSMC Movie Podcast. It's your ticket to the latest movies, whether it's a new blockbuster event, romantic, comedy, or action flick. This show has got it all covered. They talk some what to go see now. Don't bother. What's hot on Netflix and everything in between? That's gsmcpodcast.com/movie-podcast. When it's all about the movies, it has to be this new show. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit gsmcpodcast.com for more info.
Welcome back to the GSMC Bible Study Podcast. Before the break, I was talking about the commentary for Isaiah chapter 50, verses 4 through 9a, and talking specifically about that part of, you know, being a prophet that involves listening so that you know what God wants you to say to the people that you are called to prophesy to, right? You have to listen, you have to know what you are called to say. And so whatever that translation is, whether it's the tongue of a teacher or one who has been taught, either way, the listening part is just as important so that you can speak. And it's so important, especially because the prophet is being given words of comfort, words of strength to give to those who are in circumstances that are difficult. And I know from my own experience, I want to be able to say the right things in those situations. I want to be able to say the words that will bring the most comfort. And this is an area in my ministry where I've always worried. I don't know if I've talked about it too much on this podcast. Maybe I have. I apologize if I have. I tend to be a perfectionist, or I tend to worry that I'm not doing things correctly. So that can really hold me back, right? If I'm worried that I'm not going to do something correctly, I don't even want to attempt it. And so I know when I was doing my chaplaincy training, the first week or so was really hard to even go into those rooms, because what if I said something just so horrible that, you know, and again, it's putting way too much, giving myself way too much power. What if I said something so horrible that I just ruined someone's whole life, or, you know, took away their faith in God, or whatever. For some reason, my brain never goes the other way. Well, what if you say just the right thing that is exactly what they need to hear? And that is what, to me, is really jumping out of these verses, is that morning by morning, God wakens my ear to hear what I need to hear so that I can share that with others. I need to internalize that. I need to put that into my consciousness so that it becomes a part of me, so that I have more confidence, because it's not me who's speaking, it's God. It's God's word, right? If I just speak what I know and what I believe, then that is God's word speaking through me. And worry less about being right or doing things right or being perfect. So that's really what I'm getting out of this, which I appreciate. So moving on, through the commentary, God opens the servant's ear to prepare him to learn and to speak. And this is an ongoing process. It's not a one-time experience, because, and that's where we see that morning by morning. It happens day after day that God wakens us to hear. So We need to be lifelong learners. We need to be lifelong listeners in God, to God's word, because we're going to hear it differently. We're going to hear God differently, depending on what's going on in our own lives, how we've changed as people in our own lives. Our faith goes through cycles and evolutions and changes, and all of those things, all of the defining aspects of our life, all of those even tiny details of our lives influence how we hear God's word. And so we have to constantly be listening. We have to constantly be listening for God's word and learning about God's word and knowing what God's word is telling us so that we can then have the tongue of a teacher. But this text, of course, isn't all about having the tongue of a teacher or listening. It's also one of the servant songs. So in verse 6, we get a little bit of a shift in the verses. And the commentary says that the servant's embrace of God's difficult and dangerous instructions shows itself in his willingness to experience rejection and to endure persecution. It's difficult to know if the servant is speaking literally or symbolically when he says, "I gave my back to those who struck me and my cheeks to those who pulled the beard." Either way, or both ways, the prophet willingly accepts opposition to his sharing of the word of God. This does not mean, he says, that proclaimers of God's word should go out of their way to provoke opposition. We should not seek persecution, nor should we assume that opposition necessarily means that we are faithfully proclaiming God's word. If we faithfully teach and preach with integrity, though, opposition will likely come. You know, when you're declaring such radical love that God declares, it's going to make people uncomfortable, and opposition is likely to come. The servant's face then has experienced pain, but it still reflects his determined commitment, and he sets his face like flint. This is verse 7b. His determination is based on God's helping and vindicating action. Because the Lord is with him to help him, he boldly stands up against his adversaries. Servants of God are steadfast in their determination to be faithful because they trust in God, not because they rely on their own strength. And actually, this was something that the priest last week when I was at church was talking about, not in the same context. He was actually talking about it in the context of last week's gospel, but he was talking about going into a difficult situation in the emergency room when he was called to the hospital for a parishioner, and what he had to do in that situation and how he was able to do that because he went in there as a priest, not as himself, which seems kind of weird, right? But he went in there as a priest, trusting that God would give him the right words and the right, you know, the right things to say or do in that situation, and relying on what he had learned in seminary as a priest to be able to handle that situation. So I kind of feel like that, you know, that we can be faithful, that we can be steadfast, not because of our own strength, but simply because we rely on God and God is with us no matter what. So in its original context, the commentator says, the words of this servant's song most likely refer to the experience of the prophet who proclaims them. As the early believers grew to understand the ways Jesus fulfilled his role as Messiah and Savior, they found guidance in 2 Isaiah's servant songs. As the embodiment of God's word, Jesus suffered greatly for his speaking and living of it. Now, my Old Testament professor would always tell us, and I very much agree with him, that it's important to understand the original context, the original context that these words were written in, the suffering servant. It later was understood through Jesus's experience, and that's fine, but you have to remember that the words were written way before then. And so to understand them in their own context, as well as maybe looking forward to Jesus. I just think it's really important to understand that there's multi levels, not just looking forward to Jesus, although there is some of that, and we look back and understand that Jesus was fulfilling the prophecies, right? But these words were also written within a specific context. So the prophet's experience of willing witness that leads to suffering and rejection at the hands of people, but ultimately to vindication through the power of God, foreshadows Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. And so, you know, he wraps it up with the way he begins it, you know. And, well, actually, he says, the prophet ends by saying, "Those who are ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation..." And this is actually 50:38, so this is way after we read. "But those who are ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of them the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." And this brings us back to something that we read in this section. "The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious. I did not turn backward," in verse 5. So he wraps it up the same way he introduced it. The more we listen, the more we know, we'll know. The more we know, the more we'll serve. The more we serve, the more we'll learn. And I think that is a lovely way to wrap this up. It's, you know, it's listening is so important. We too often talk more than we listen. And that's definitely true in our life with God. Maybe you, that's not your experience, and you are really good at listening for God, but most of us, I think, struggle with that a lot. So, but the more we listen, the more we'll know. And then when we know what God is calling us to do, then we are better able to serve and do God's work in the world. And the more we serve, the more we learn. It's a wonderful cycle, actually. It's not a vicious cycle. This is a beautiful cycle. Let's go ahead and take our second break of the podcast. When we come back, we'll be looking at the psalm assigned for this week. So stay tuned. You're listening to the GSMC Bible Study Podcast, and I will be right back.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching.
Hey!
The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch. Whatever it may be. Visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. And download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play.
Welcome back to the GSMC Bible Study Podcast. In the first two segments, of course, we were talking about the reading assigned for this week from Isaiah chapter 50, verses 4 through 9a. And now we will be turning to the other Old Testament text assigned, and that is from Psalm 116, verses 1 through 9. And those verses are as follows. "I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my supplications. Because he inclined his ear to me, therefore I will call on him as long as I live. The snares of death encompassed me, the pangs of Sheol laid on hold of me. I suffered distress and anguish. Then I call on the name of the Lord. O Lord, I pray, save my life. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Our God is merciful. The Lord protects the simple. When I was brought low, he saved me. Return, O my soul, to your rest, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. For you have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling. I walk before the Lord in the land of the living." Again, that is Psalm 116, verses 1 through 9. And the first thing that struck me as I was reading this was, because God has heard my voice and my supplications. So we just talked about listening to God, and then we turn, and now it's praising God because God listened to the psalmist. And it just strikes me as funny. I'm not saying that, you know, oh, don't listen to that first one, or not listen. But yeah, you don't have to listen. Cry out to God. I don't know what I'm saying. I hope you know what I'm saying. But it's just, it's the other side of the coin, right? Listening as well as calling out to God, both of very important parts in our prayer life and our relationship with God. And so this is the psalmist praising God. Why? Well, because God heard his voice and heard her supplications. God inclined God's ear to the psalmist. And so therefore, I will call on God as long as I live. Here is trust, right? Because the psalmist called on God and God responded. That's why the psalmist is now saying, I will praise God my whole life. So let's look at some commentary, since I can't seem to be forming coherent sentences here. It turns out, this commentary is from James K. Meade, who is the associate professor of religion at Northwestern College in Orange City, Iowa. And he says that the 17th Sunday after Pentecost is the only instance of Psalm 116, verses 1 through 9, as a Sunday reading in the lectionary. Most of its, often he says the Psalm 116 and verses 10 through 17 are read on Maundy, Thursday, and Easter time in year A. As a reminder, we are currently in year B, so we would have heard those last year during Holy Week. So he says it's tempting to move beyond verses 1 through 9 because, you know, we do read them during Holy Week, and so they're going to be familiar, and it would be easy to just kind of not focus on verses 1 through 9, but look beyond. But he says there's also reasons for looking at verses 1 through 9 independently, as the Septuagint did by dividing the poem into two psalms. As one of about a dozen Thanksgiving psalms, this passage is spoken from a post-crisis perspective. But the psalm offers no real clue as to the nature of the problem or problems that prompted the poet's supplications. So first, he says, are the flexibility of prayer forms. We are indebted to the insights of form criticism for Psalms research, mainly because thinking about the typical structure and elements of laments and praises helps us to understand their message. Psalms scholars tell us that Psalm 116, however, does not follow the traditional order of elements in Thanksgiving Psalms, where we typically hear a narration of the poet's crisis before learning about the deliverance or share in the act of thanksgiving. Rather, as one commentator notes, it alternates the experiences of deliverance with outbursts of thanksgiving. This gives certain energy to the prayer, what has been described as infectious delight and touching gratitude. The takeaway from this observation is not only the assurance that our prayers need not conform to a rigid pattern. Isn't that nice to hear? You don't have to pray. There's no right way to pray. It's the fact that you are praying and in relationship and talking to God, right? The Psalms' inclusion in the canon is further evidence that the faith community believed that God is pleased to hear this variety. Each believer's faith experience and spiritual inclinations will be different, and this psalm can help others to find words for their own public thanksgiving. So the next thing that he wants to point out is the contrast of living and dying. Whether the psalm is studied as a whole or in part, James Mays, he's referencing James Mays, is correct that the theme word is death. It ensnares. We need to be delivered from it. It comes to all God's faithful ones. And these are verses, that's from verses 3, 8, and 15 in this psalm. Moreover, in keeping with the Hebraic mindset, the experience of death is equated with Sheol in verse 3, the place of the dead. And thus, it is beyond any possible relation to God. In Christian Proclamation, he says there are other scriptural resources that lift up the resurrection of the body and the life everlasting, and we should in no way diminish this blessedness, the blessedness of this hope. Nevertheless, he says he believes the Israelite acknowledgement of death's reality meant that they set maximum value upon the God-given resources of this life and so upon God himself. Further, what is central to the New Testament hope, that is God's graciousness and righteousness, is central to the message of the text. Indeed, the phrase "gracious is the Lord" occurs at the precise center of these nine verses. Thus, I do not think, he says, I do not think that what we might call the Christian life is all that different from the relationship our Hebraic faith ancestors sought. And he says he appreciates Eugene Peterson's exposition of this psalm, in which he explores the last sentence of what we read today. I walk with the Lord. I walk before the Lord in the land of the living. The verb to walk is a certain type of verb pattern, he says, which in this case renders a sense of repetitiveness. By looking at other uses of this form, Eugene Peterson affirmed the idea that spiritual formation cannot be done in a hurry. It cannot be forced into a schedule. Oh man, how many of us would want it to be forced into a schedule, right? I'm going to put this on my to-do list and I'm going to, okay, here's my spiritual formation. Ready, God, go. You got 15 minutes. And then I have to move on. I got to go grocery shopping. I've got this to do. I've got that to do, etc. Can't be forced into a schedule. Nope. We have to keep listening our whole lives, right? Like we talked about with Isaiah. So the last part that the commentator wants to highlight is the communion of saints. And several scholars mention how this psalm functions in Judaism as one of the songs of Passover and Christianity on Maundy Thursday in particular, and for the Lord's Supper in general. He says, but when I speak of the communion of saints, I am not thinking primarily of the sacrament, but of the creedal affirmation, namely that God's people throughout all time and place experience a real fellowship through our union with Christ. Psalm 116 may originally have expressed the gratitude of one Israelite worshiper before the congregation at the temple, but it becomes our song through the unity of the church with the assembly of Israel. There is a reason that the Greek ecclesia was the New Testament writer's choice to identify the church, because the Septuagint used that term to translate the Hebrew word for the ancient assembly. And he says, this is why I suggested at least referring to the last 10 verses of the psalm. It is there that the poet introduces several references to sacrifices, vows, offerings, and public worship. In the presence of all his people occurs twice in verses 14 and 18 that we did not read in this section, inviting us to practice that same model of gratitude. So it seems fitting that when we look at Psalm 116, we create time and space to think about our own gratitudes, to offer our own testimony for answered prayer, as well as to intercede for those who are still waiting for answers. And that's where I think I want to leave it today. Where can you make that space? Is there time that you can make that space to think about the prayers in your life that have been answered, how they have been answered? What was your response? Was it that gratitude? Was it something that you maybe prayed fervently for and then didn't even notice when it was answered, or you prayed fervently for it and you were so grateful for when it was answered? So take some time in the next few days to think about prayers, think about answered prayers, as well as to intercede for those who are still waiting for answers to their prayers. So in that way, you will be reflecting on your own gratitude as well as lifting up others in prayer. And I think that is a wonderful way to end this episode. I want to thank you so much for listening. I hope you will join me again on Wednesday when we will be looking at the New Testament lessons again from James and the Gospel of Mark. See you Wednesday. In the meantime, please do remember that you are a beautiful and beloved child of God. Thank you.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.